The reading is from Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 to 11. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today.
Okay. On the series of talks on Why Me. So far, our last week, actually, Dave spoke in Gideon. Very interesting, and made the point about Gideon. Why was Gideon chosen? He was the least of the least of the least, as he pointed out. And there was nothing about him.
Sorry, Peter, you turned it on?
Nope.
Do you want that repeated? Last week, Dave spoke on Gideon, and he highlighted how Gideon was the least of the least, and why would he be chosen to be used by God in any way? He didn't see any quality about himself, he had no greatness about himself, there was nothing fantastic about him, but yet God chose to use him. And Tally spoke on Ruth and Naomi, he spoke on Joseph, of course. We know that Joseph had a purpose, he went into Egypt, and God used that to spur the children of Israel living in through a tough time. And then I spoke on why Jesus, why did he suffer, why did he die, why did he have to come? And this week, I'm going to look at why me, but I'm going to look at it in a slightly different slant to it. But I want to put up this image, first of all. My girls are going to giggle when they see this. We went last week to see this film in the cinema, and it is the film Inside Out. Really enjoyed it, really funny, but it was very, very psychological. It made you think about everything. And to make a very long story very short, a young girl called Riley, who lived in Minestrone, was very important. She moved house at a young age. And so she lost friendships, she had to get new friendships, in new schools, her mum and dad were having new jobs, all these things were going on. And all of a sudden she had all these different emotions. Fear, anger and sadness were the ones that were attacking her most. And joy was the one that was sort of outside. And joy was trying to protect the young girl, trying to show all the good things. And sadness and fear was coming in. And they were making things very difficult. And in the end, it was the sadness that actually helped the young girl through the situation. Because she needed sadness to help her realize what was happening so that she could then return to her mother and father, because she was going to run away from the house, run away from the situation. She was so unhappy that she was so sad, she wanted to run away, but sadness brought her back. And that's the point I want to drive before I start here tonight, that our emotions are very important to us. When we're going through the why me's in life, you might be feeling fearful or angry or sad or any other emotions you can put to that, but bear them in mind as we go through this talk tonight. I've changed tonight's title from why me to why us. And I want to put up this image, and I want you to consider what it is that these people might be thinking. Are they thinking individually, why me? It looks as if the person taking the photograph has said to them, smile, look like you're happy, look like things are okay. Or are they standing there in complete fear and trepidation and not knowing where they're going and what's going to happen next? Wondering, why me? Or are they thinking, why us? Why are we standing here? Why us? Why are we in this camp? Why are we in this situation? What did we ever do wrong to end up here? Deuteronomy that was read just a few moments ago showed us that Israel were the least of the nations. That there was nothing about them that was important. That there was nothing about them that God would want to choose Israel. There's nothing to do with their possessions or their ability. They were not a great nation. They were not world renowned. There was nothing about them. The reason that God chose Israel is because God chose Israel. And the reason God chose you or me is that God chose you or me. We cannot work it out. We cannot try to explain it. God chose Israel. God chose you and I tonight. Now you may ask, and some of you may not know who Israel are, and I'm going to very quickly reveal this to you, because I'm looking at Israel as why us is important. Abraham was called by God to leave the country that he was in, to go to the country and the nation that God, the country that God had prepared for him. He had a son. His son was called Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob is the person who God chose to change his name from Jacob to Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. And through the 12 tribes were brought Jesus through the tribe of Judah. Now God made a covenant or an agreement with Israel. And the problem was that God is always, always faithful, whereas Israel were always unfaithful. They were always breaking the terms and conditions of the covenant and turning away from God. And even though they did that, God was a faithful God. And God had a purpose for Israel that would be revealed. Even in Israel's unfaithfulness, God remains faithful, for God had a purpose and a plan. And he still has a purpose and a plan for Israel to this day, that they are the apple of God's eye. And God was going to use them in a very, very special and a very, very important way. Through the nation of Israel, God would bring his Messiah, Jesus, into the world. I looked at Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, it was important. Why Jesus? Because he was the Son of God who would come into the world, who would die the perfect he'd be the perfect sacrifice and die upon the cross, so that we might believe that he was the Son of God, that through him we would believe in him and be saved. So God, Jesus was sent into the world so that he would save the world. So why Israel? Why would Israel be a people hated by the world still to this day? Hated by Iran, hated by other nations, hated by Hamas and by Hezbollah and by other terrorist organizations that want to destroy them. Why is Israel still under constant threat today? Satan despises God. He did not want to see the Messiah brought into this world through Israel, through the tribe of Judah. He did not want to see this happen, and so he sought to destroy Israel from its inception. He sought to destroy them. And even further than that, he sought to have them destroyed, even if God would destroy them for their disobedience and for their behavior, for the way that they turned from God. They were backslidden people, and they did not want to follow, to be obedient to God and to follow him. Satan wants to see Israel destroyed even to this day. But God's plans will never be foiled by Satan. This is quite a powerful image, but it's one that you see quite often in television, where you'll see the flag of Israel or the Star of Judah burned. So because of Israel's disobedience, there's three consequences that arise from this that I want to highlight. The first one was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came to Israel, came to the land of Israel, and took Israel and the Jews into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the most powerful nation at that time, over Babylon, and he took them into captivity, destroying Jerusalem and destroying the temple. Then we have Titus of the Romans. In AD 70, the Roman Empire was ruling the world. This is another big, big world-dominating empire. And they again destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and the people of Israel were spread across the world. In most recent times for us, is Hitler. And Hitler, in the Second World War, decided upon a wonderful idea called the One State Solution, or the One Solution, which was to destroy the state or the people of Israel. He wanted to see the Furman destroyed and removed from the world. That was his main aim in the death camps. I'm going to put up an image in a minute, and I want you to think about the image that I'm going to put up. Why me? Why us? You could nearly imagine, as I was putting this together and listening again to Tari's talk this morning, that Tari really blasted out the cry from the cross when Jesus said, "Why, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And I could nearly put it into the mouths of these people. Why were they forsaken? Why were we left to die? Why were we a people hated by the nations of this world? Why us? Israel today are still a people who are disobedient, living in unbelief, except for those Messianic Jews that we prayed for this morning. Israel as a nation this morning are still far from God. Don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, but they're still under constant threat from the enemy. Still under constant threat from Satan, who wants to destroy them. Because God has a purpose and a plan still for Israel. And God's purpose and plan for Israel will not be foiled by Satan. Up to this point, I've shown you everything that's been happening to Israel. And it comes to this point. At the cross, Jesus died, rejected and despised. Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah as he died on the cross. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. But even as they rejected Jesus as he was on the cross, their Messiah, their rejection has led to the spread of the gospel around the world. Nearly every person in the world has heard the gospel about Jesus. Because they rejected Jesus, we the Gentile nations have the opportunity to accept him. Their rejection has led to our acceptance. They had to reject the Messiah so that we could accept. We can accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior today. God's purposes will still not be foiled by Satan. Why Israel? Why us? God continues to this day in his faithfulness to bless and to protect Israel. And there is a time coming when I believe Israel will be saved. In fact, if you go into the book of Romans, you'll find that it says all Israel will be saved. Because of God's faithfulness to Israel, Israel, I believe, one day will be saved. So, to bring this back to where I started, why me? Why us? I looked at a film at the very start, described the fears, the sadness, the anger, the disappointments, everything that went on in the little girl's head. Because she'd done something in the film which was run away from her problems. She ran away from the very things that were causing her problems. And happiness in her head and joy were trying to push away the sadness, trying to push away the fear, so the wee girl would be protected. But the point of the film was that the wee girl needed to understand what it was to be fearful, what it was to be sad, what it was to have emotions. And joy in the end of the film realized this, and sadness came in, and it was sadness that made the wee girl realize where she was, where she should be, and the sadness brought her back, and then the film ended all well. The same is for us tonight. We need to have fear. What's happening in my life? What's going to happen? We need to have the sadness. Why did this happen? Why is it happening? We need to understand what the sadness is there for. And then the anger. Why did this happen to me? And these are the three main emotions that you feel when you're questioning why me, or when you're Israel, you're questioning why us as a nation. Why did this happen to us? These are the emotions that we need to feel, the experiences that we need to have, the unexpected that crashes into our lives and destroys everything. When something painful happens, and when the answers cannot be found, the cry is always, why me? Why us? From these painful feelings and emotions come the need to cry out, not just by us, but the need to call out for help and for love and for protection and for guidance and for all those things we're looking for. You need to know that when you're crying, why me? That God loves you. That God loves you so much that he has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And that plan and purpose was fulfilled in his son Jesus when he was rejected by Israel for the purpose that we might be accepted by Jesus. It had to happen to Israel that we would be accepting Jesus as our Messiah and our Savior tonight. You will come to realize that God has chosen you, and I love the prayer tonight because so many times Denise emphasized the word chosen, chosen, chosen. Israel were chosen. Why? For no other reason than God chose them. You are chosen. We are chosen people tonight in here. Those that accept Jesus are especially chosen, but we're all chosen by God to be in this planet Earth. God chose you for no other reason than He simply chose you. Not because of your abilities, not because of the wonderful things you can do, not because of your great possessions or your great wealth, but simply because He chose you. You are chosen by God and accepted by Him through Jesus alone. There is no other way of being accepted. Jesus, humblest apologies, Satan will be at his work tonight trying to prevent you from knowing God, trying to prevent you from knowing Him personally or more intimately. He wants to destroy it, just like He wants to destroy Israel and the purpose that God still has for them to be fulfilled. He wants to destroy everything that God has for you in your life to be yet fulfilled. Don't let Him rob you of God's love and the joy that His purpose can bring into your life. You see, all the sadnesses and the worries and all those things are there for a reason. And they're there sometimes to drive you closer to God and into Jesus. Remember tonight that through all that this life has to throw at you, through every emotion and every difficulty and every hill you have to climb, every disappointment that you have to face, that God has a plan for you, and that that plan can never be foiled by Satan. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You tonight that You're a wonderful, saving God. That You, Lord God, know everything that we must go through, every difficulty we must face, every emotion that we must display, and every hurt that we must feel. But yet, Lord God, You on the other side of that will bring us through this and show us Your love and Your joy. You will bless us and You will keep us. And Lord, we put our whole lives into Your hands. We trust in You and You alone. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us tonight. We thank You for everything You're doing for us individually and everything You're doing for us as a church and the purposes that You have for Shiloh and for every person in here. Lord, help us to drive closer to You. Never let us fall foul of Satan and what he would want to do in our lives, destroy us, to come in amongst us and destroy us. Lord, help us to be in Your love and in Your protection this week. In Jesus' name, amen.